Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so mad. On Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, whenever we seem to be having technical issues, we are either not heard, we lose our connection. So I have to sign out and sign back in. But do not go away. We are coming right back. We have an interesting show for you tonight, as well as two on-air guests that are no strangers to Not So Mad Science to share their viewpoints and understanding scientifically on the vaccines and potential alternatives. So tonight's program, which is titled Every day, more and more information is coming out about the COVID-19 virus and the usage of unproven vaccines. Very little information is shared, and much of it is purposely blocked from mainstream media regarding the viable and effective alternatives available. So with that said, we're going to play something from the Reverend B.W. Smith called Watch Them Dogs.
Note the third chapter of Philippians and the third verse. You will find these words written. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now that you might get the introduction to that verse, it says in the second verse, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers.
All right.
Beware of the confusion. Watch them dogs. St. Paul, the speaker and writer of our text, here warns the true Christians at the Philippian church to beware of the false teachers and false prophets who are always barking like a dog against the principles of the gospel that they were founded upon. Paul called them evil workers because they were always growling with the dog spirit instead of shouting with the Holy Spirit. Some of these false teachers and false prophets were Jews who were trying to hold on to the practice of Judaism by circumcision instead of regeneration. Paul here warns the true Christian to beware of these church fighters who are going around like a dog barking at their good works. He warns them to beware of dogs. That is, watch them dogs. These false teachers whom the Apostle Paul warns the Philippian Christians against were men of evil spirit rather than a good spirit. That is, men with a dog spirit rather than the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah, the 56th chapter, the 10th and 11th verse, he called the cooks in the church greedy dogs and dumb dogs. Jesus said in Matthew 7th chapter and 6th verse, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. In our text, Paul characterizes these hypocrites in the church as dogs, evil workmen, and concision workers. He warns the Philippian church not to heed their barking, but watch them dogs. In the scripture, God uses the habits and dispositions of the animals and other creeping things to compare with the habits and dispositions of human beings in the social order. In Peter's vision on the rooftop, he saw all nations represented by four-footed beasts, creeping things and fowls are there. People on earth have habits like the lower creatures in disposition. Is that right? Jesus himself, according to the scripture, was lamb-like in humility. He was lion-like in power. A brazen serpent-like in saving power. Some people in our church are cunning and sly like a fox. Amen. Jesus compared Herod to a fox in Luke the 13th chapter and the 32nd verse. He told the Pharisees, go ye and tell that fox. Some folk are deceitful like a snake. John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism. And he said in St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, O ye generation of vipers, that snake saith, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? St. Paul in our text called these hypocrites in the church dogs. Some people in our church have habits like an alley dog, always got his head in a garbage can. Is that right? Always tracking down filth and dirty things. Amen. Some people in our church, always in the alley, in their thinking and gossiping. They glory in the bad things, and they cite all of the good things. Don't bother them, just watch them though. Now, the Jews, according to the 15th chapter of Matthew and the 22nd verse, regarded the Gentiles as dogs, because the Gentiles ate all manner of meat. But in our text, Paul turns the table and he called the Jews dogs because they lived on the laws of Judaism, but he praised the Christians who fed on a higher spiritual food. Now, it has always been dangerous, brethren, to call a man a dog. Amen. It's dangerous to call a man a dog unless you
Assalamu alaikum. And yes, it is very dangerous to call a man a dog now that we've got our technical issues worked out and we have a little bit of protection. I want to once again, as I made in my announcement, to address the issues around the COVID-19 virus. For 3 weeks in a row, we played the Nation of Islam Saviors Day COVID-19 workshops. We've had concerning words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We've had direction given to us. We had counsel given to us. It now becomes the responsibility of the individual to make a choice. Now some would say it's a hard choice to make. Who do you believe? All people in good conscience should cater to and take a stand based on truth and facts. What is that truth? And what is that fact? Well, the truth is, can you, in clear conscience, not have major concerns in a governmental body, a social institution that has proven historically to use you more for experimental purposes than to find the best health paradigm for you? Can you, in clear conscience, say that your personal interests have been looked out for? Right up to and including the present day. If you are a free thinking person, you must conclude on all the viable, verifiable evidence that your interest as an American citizen, let's say, has not ever been looked out for. So what do you do when you're faced with a global health crisis where you personally know of persons who have been infected and made extremely sick and or have died as a result of the COVID-19 virus and its variant expressions or mutations? You are now presented with the opportunity to take a vaccine whose viable efficacy or efficiency is not proven. Yet, you're faced with the conundrum of being told that you have no recourse. Your family has no recourse should you find yourself in a position where you become deathly ill. There is no one you can hold accountable for the reactions and the responses to taking a vaccine that has not been proven. Many offer the argument, well, I don't have a choice. If I don't take the vaccine, I'll lose my job. Look at that. You're being told that unless you take a vaccine that has no proof or track record of viability, that if you don't take it, you'll lose your job. What kind of person does that? What type of government institution does that? What kind of employer does that? You're then told by family members and or friends, we can't associate with you unless you take the vaccine. But what is their determination based on? Their determination of saying that to you, the individual, is based on the clear and concise marketing of a product that is not proven. The patents that are made available for the COVID-19 viruses that are out now are given an emergency usage license. An emergency usage patent. What does the emergency usage patent allow? It allows for the usage of a product that no one knows what the liabilities of it will be. Are you, the individual, willing to risk your life on the potential or possibility of something that you and no one can give you clear and concise evidence of? What do we know? We know from the documentable evidence that has been made available that the vaccine, regardless of which manufacturer's vaccine you use, does not prevent you from getting sick. You are told that the possibility and the potential of you getting sick, whether you take the vaccine or not, is still present. It is quite likely, in the terminology used, that you will get sick anyway, only you will survive it. So, on the low end, you have people say, okay, I took two shots of the vaccine in a prescribed manner. I get sick. But I have been cohabitating and going amongst friends, neighbors, and family. And I have now shared my sickness with them because I believe I'm protected. Are you really? Were you ever protected? No, you were not. You weren't protected. In the legal dogma that is espoused by the vaccine providers, they tell you there is no guarantee that you will not get sick anyway. You will get sick. And because you will get sick, you can still infect others. So what is different about taking the vaccine and not taking the vaccine and you haven't been sick at all? You were better off not taking the vaccine and putting a premature confidence in a product that does nothing for you, but give you the feeling of protection that is not there. You now become a marketer's prostitute. I'm going to say that again. You are a marketer's, an advertisement prostitute. Anybody can pump something into you for a dollar, and you will then use that dollar you made after being pimped. Yes, take my language very seriously. After being pimped, and go buy something else. You've been used. You've been had. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, suckered. In the words of that immortal showman and circus clown, there's a sucker born every day, and it is the American citizen in the United States. So what do you do? Is there anything else I can do to protect myself? Yes, there is. You can use that brain that God gave you, that is the most perfect computer, and do something for yourself. Don't take the word of the one who has commanded and demanded your compliance for fact. Use your cognitive ability to analyze information and data, and then make a decision. Find out truth. Well, where does that truth come from? That truth comes from listening very clearly to what is said and how it is said. The first clue that should throw up the bloody red flag is, well, if you take the vaccine and you get sick or you die from it, there is a double secret council that you can make a complaint to that has no legal standing to do anything. you have no legal recourse. You can't even sue the company that made the vaccine that killed you. That's a red flag, if there is one. Who do you complain to? You're dead now. Your family has to pay a price because you were too foolish and whorish to do your own homework to find out whether or not you have an opportunity to live and die. If you didn't get sick in the first place, don't take the vaccine until the vaccine is proven. Now, the vaccine manufacturers want to experiment on children. And where is the heaviest push in the communities around America to find children between the ages of 2 and 15 to put into a study to see if the vaccine works on them, or is effective for them, or what adjustments need to be made? According to the CDC, the largest push is in the inner cities. Inner city is a politically correct term for the ghettos of America. And who live there? Black, Hispanic, and poor whites. Oh, buddy. Are you going to be a whorish trick for them again? So they can experiment on you before they do it to their own. Don't be a sucker every day of your life. Use that cognitive ability that God gave you to make a better choice. So tonight, we will have on with us my bigger baby brother, retired firefighter, retired EMT in the city of New York, now a functioning EMT here in the city of Detroit, as well as a medical professional. Rudolf Muhammad will share some of his thoughts with respect to the COVID-19 vaccines that are now available here in America. So with that said, we're going to take a very short musical break while I get my big baby brother on the line, Rudolf Muhammad. So we're going to hear the smooth sounds of those things.
More than I love you.
well, dear family and friends, we're having a little trouble connecting with Rudolph at this moment. But don't go away. Do not go away. I have a lot more to share. A lot more. I want to go to some information that was shared by the Hill. It is a political blog, newspaper of sorts, that is issued in Washington, D.C., called The Hill, read by a great many politicians and references a lot of political information. Here's what The Hill, in an article presented by Leslie Roberts, who is a contributor to the publication, has to say. She says, in recent weeks, it has come to light that the White House blocked an effort by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control to require the use of face masks on public and commercial transportation and initiated against the wishes of CDC scientists, according to a March 2020 CDC order to close the U.S. border to asylum seekers. Both moves were widely and publicly condemned by public health experts. Now, granted, this took place still during the Colt 45 era. But what is the impact of this mandate that we see in the Biden time? Because I'm not biding my time waiting for Biden to do anything. What we do see is that many of the so-called Republican states have now removed the mandate to publicly wear face masks. We see this in the state of Texas, which is the more widely known state to remove that law. What is the governor of Texas thinking? Did he make a public health decision? Or did he make a political decision? We do know, if we look around the globe at certain countries where COVID has been all but eradicated and its numbers have been significantly reduced in countries where the face mask mandate is still in order, where there is no vaccine in usage in any considerable number of people. What did they do? In countries like Cuba, where there is no vaccine, what are they doing? What are these countries that are having these significant reduction in cases of COVID doing? They're maintaining their social distancing policies. They're maintaining the requirement to wear face masks in public spaces. As in the country of Cuba, they've taken an alternative approach to vaccines by promoting the usage of low-dose interferon supplements to invigorate the immune system of the human body without using animal-based products. We see dramatic reductions in the number of COVID cases, almost to the point of completely eliminating it. Yet here in the free world, we struggle here in the state of Michigan. Numbers are going up. But we have the vaccine. In the state of Texas, the numbers are going up. In the state of Florida, the numbers are about to hit a tremendous surge as they remove the requirements for social distancing and spring break is in full bloom. These people who have traveled to Florida for the college spring break and the reduced requirements of protection against COVID are not there anymore. They return to their homes from wherever they came from and they take the virus back with them. Is there something wrong with public health policy here in these United States of America? Something is definitely wrong. Right now in Europe, the coronavirus is surging again in Europe, forcing harsh new restrictions in places like London and Paris as their governments carefully weigh their next steps. The economic recovery in these regions is in bad shape, which should have put the United States on notice as the weather here begins to clear up and get warmer. During this past winter, the stock prices in London, Paris, Milan, Frankfurt, Germany, all plunged as what was thought to be a decrease in COVID represented itself and became a significant loss of money. So again, I ask, in Texas, is it a political decision? Is it a health and human services decision? Or are we really looking at financial decisions? What is happening? And can you make a choice based on your cognitive ability to see something beyond what you are told? Don't suffer from the P.T. Barnum axiom. There's a sucker born every day. I know of too many people who are thinking people that are taking this virus simply because they want to see their friends. They want to hug a family member. What would that family member rather have? You dead or alive where they can at the very least reach you by phone. Exercise some social consciousness and be patient. Wait. Just wait. Give it a little bit of time before you acquiesce to marketing boredom. And I see right now that my big baby brother has now made it into Not So Mad Science. So I'm not going to waste any time to give him the floor so he can give us his understanding of the COVID-19 vaccines and where he sees things at. And oh my goodness, as soon as he popped in, he popped off. So when he comes back, I'm going to grab him while I can. So I'll keep going until he pops back in. However, let me try one thing. I am going to drop in just a little bit of, let's see who we can grab here. Who can we grab that will keep your attention? Mr. Daniel Beatty and knock, knock.
As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was 3. He would knock, knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms. Good morning, Papa. And my papa, he would tell me that he loved me. We shared a game, knock, knock, until that day when the knock never came. And my mama takes me on a ride past cornfields on this never-ending highway till we reach a place of high, rusty gates. A confused little boy, I enter the building carried in my mama's arms, knock, knock. We reach a room of windows and brown faces. Behind one of the windows sits my father. I jump out of my mama's arms and run joyously towards my papa's, only to be confronted by this window. I knock, knock, trying to break through the glass, trying to get to my father. I knock, knock as my mama pulls me away before my papa even says a word. And for years, he has never said a word. And so 25 years later, I write these words for the little boy in me who still awaits his papa's knock. Papa, come home, because I miss you. Miss you waking me up in the morning and telling me you love me. Papa, come home, because there's things I don't know, and I thought maybe you could teach me how to shave, how to dribble a ball, how to talk to a lady, how to walk like a man. Papa, come home, because I decided a while back I want to be just like you, but I'm forgetting who you are. And 25 years later, a little boy cries, and so I write these words and try to heal and try to father myself, and I dream up a father who says the words my father did not, dear son. I'm sorry I never came home. For every lesson I failed to teach, hear these words. Shave in one direction with strong, deliberate strokes to avoid irritation. Dribble the page with the brilliance of your ballpoint pen. Walk like a god, and your goddess will come to you. No longer will I be there to knock on your door, so you must learn to knock for yourself. Knock, knock down doors of racism and poverty that I could not. Knock, knock on doors of opportunity for the lost brilliance of the black men who crowd these cells. Knock, knock with diligence for the sake of your children. Knock, knock for me, for as long as you are free, these prison gates cannot contain my spirit. The best of me still lives in you. Knock, knock with the knowledge that you are my son, but you are not my choices. Yes, we are our father's sons and daughters, but we are not their choices. For despite their absences, we are still here, still alive, still breathing, with the power to change this world. One little boy and girl at a time. Knock, knock. Who's there? We are. As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was 3. He would knock, knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms. Good morning, Papa. And my papa, he would tell me that he loved me. We shared a game, knock, knock, until that day when the knock never came. And my mama takes me on a ride past cornfields on this never-ending highway till we reach a place of high, rusty gates. A confused little boy, I enter the building carried in my mama's arms. Knock, knock. We reach a room of windows and brown faces. Behind one of the windows sits my father. I jump out of my mama's arms and run joyously towards my papa's, only to be confronted by this window. I knock, knock, trying to break through the glass, trying to get to my father. I knock, knock as my mama pulls me away before my papa even says a word. And for years, he has never said a word. And so 25 years later, I write these words for the little boy in me who still awaits his papa's knock. Papa, come home, because I miss you. Miss you waking me up in the morning and telling me you love me. Papa, come home, because there's things I don't know, and I thought maybe you could teach me how to share.
Okay, praise be to Allah, I was able to get that to stop. Boy, these technical issues are really working on me tonight. We have with us Brother Rudolph Muhammad, who is not just my brother, he is also my friend. And he is going to share with us an understanding of the COVID-19 virus and the associated vaccines and the alternative approaches that can be taken that can help us save our lives. So, to my brother Rudolph.
Yes, sir. Here,
sir. Welcome to Not So Mad Science.
Thank you, brother. Giving all things in the name of the Most High, the one God, the all in all, the one who is responsible for all that was, is, and will be. We thank him for appearing to us in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad. We thank him for raising the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we thank them both for giving us the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet everyone in the greeting words of peace and paradise of As-Salaamu Alaikum. Now that I have properly said that, let me say this quickly and succinctly where these vaccines are concerned. And again, this is Brother Rudolph talking. I'm not representing any entity. I'm not representing any department or any club or anything like that. This is Brother Rudolph talking. As a healthcare provider working in a level 3 trauma center in the emergency room every night, this is what we're seeing where these vaccines are concerned. People are getting the vaccine on Monday and they're in the emergency room on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're coming in with signs and symptoms that we cannot treat, because if these are side effects of the vaccine, they can't give you medication for it, because one, it's not a real side effect, but two, it may alter, they're afraid it may alter the vaccine. I mean, I'm talking about not even as much as Tylenol for a fever. This is what we're seeing here in the emergency rooms. We're seeing a rise in the number of COVID positive patients, especially the ones who have just gotten the vaccine. So for all the claims that they said that the vaccine is not giving you COVID, I don't know what to say about that. I really don't. I just don't have enough information. I have my thoughts on it, but professionally speaking, I just don't know what to say about it. I stand by, support, and defend exactly what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. Do not take the vaccine. The science behind it, from what the industry is saying, if you ask them straight questions, they can't even answer them. They have said, and what you need to do, people, is listen to what they're saying, but listen to what they're not saying, and then read between the lines. Some of them are saying, well, if you take the vaccine, it does not stop you from getting COVID. Then why are you taking it? If the vaccine is not going to prevent you from getting what they say it's supposed to be a vaccine for, why are you taking it? What sense does that make? You take a flu shot because you say that it's supposed to stop you, prevent you from getting the flu, even though you end up with flu-like symptoms. So why would you be taking a COVID-19 shot? And then they're telling you that, oh, this is a different vaccine than we've ever done before because it's made with different material. Hold up, pump the brakes, flag on the play. So you're telling me right up front that you're giving me something that has never been tried and tested before, but I should take it based on your word that it's okay. Well, what does history say about their word? Just Google it, because with the World Wide Web, you can bring up anything you want in record time now and get the actual facts on it. So what do our Native American family say, the first family, what do they say about their word? What do our ancestors say about their word? What do other groups that have come before us say about their words? So, you know, I'm just saying, as for me and my house, okay, we're going to serve the God of our fathers, and we're going to obey the instructions given to us. And I don't care if they threaten me with my job. I don't care if they threaten me with freedom. I'll have to stay in the house. I don't care about none of that. Then that's where I'll be at. But I will not voluntarily, willingly take this vaccine because, one, it's not working. It's not doing what they said it's going to do. It's not designed to. And in the long run, no one can say what is going to happen down there. You want to know something? You want to do something? You want to try a little experiment? Go to LegalZoom.com or go to your local attorney and have them print up a – Dr. Aleem used to have these readily available, those vaccine declarations that when they want to vaccinate you, you give it to the person that wants to stick you with the needle. And basically what they're saying is that if – I come down with anything behind this, I'm suing you personally for $1 million. Now, no RN, no PA, nobody that's administering these shots is ever going to go for that because none of us know what's in that vial. And we know we don't know, so we're not going to sign that. But and so the thing is, if you won't sign this, you can't stick me. So, try that.
It's interesting you brought that up, Rudolph, because the government says because of the emergency usage act that they put into place for the vaccine, says you can't sue the manufacturer.
And that's where I was getting ready to go with that. Right. So now they've given everybody a free pass. You can't sue Pfizer. You can't sue the person that's administering it to you. You can't sue anybody for getting sick behind what they're forcing you to take. What does that tell you? If all of these things right here don't tell you, if they don't raise flags in your mind as to what is really going on, then the deeper issue is even more serious. You don't have a clue as to what time it is and what really must be done. You just don't. And
well,
that makes
I'm
you a dangerous individual.
I use some very harsh language. And my harsh language, and again, it's my language. It's nothing that has been promoted by anybody else other than Professor Harold Mohammed, the host of Not So Mad Scientist. I call these people who go for this crap media whores and prostitutes, because you're just giving it away.
Oh, well, that's
like
not really so bad, Brother Harold, because I say something even different. I say, listen, if you're ignorant, you can combat ignorance with knowledge. But if you're stupid, there's no cure. And stupid does not get better over time. It gets worse. Stupidity is knowing the truth and doing nothing with it. That's stupidity. You have a solution. You have an answer to the problem, and you refuse to use it. That's stupid. Ignorance is not knowing that it's there. I just say it that way,
I can't understand it. How
The scripture says hard to lead in the right direction, right. Easy to lead in the wrong direction. So I got that. And I got the 5, the 10, and the 85%. Got all of that. Understand that 85% of the people are just followers, and they're going to go whichever way the tide goes because that's just who they are. I got that, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say this. If you, all you people with these degrees behind your name and these plaques on your wall that you like to beat your chest because you went to this school or that school or whatever, and you say that you have reasonable intelligence, but yet you listen to what these clowns say, and you went out there and let them do what they did to you, to your mother, to your children, to people that you love, there's just a question mark on you for me as to how intelligent you are. I'll say that way nicely. And then for all you others out there who you call up the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and you counsel with him in private, and, oh, yeah, that's my man, and, yeah, I listen to him and stuff, and he gave us an instruction, and you went right, turned right around and went against what he said for whatever the reason, don't you realize that you just put yourself in an adversarial position against the man of God? And don't you think that there are going to be consequences and repercussions behind that? Don't you know that? And if you don't, then you shouldn't be pastoring a flock anyway. But like the scripture says, woe to the shepherds that feed themselves and don't feed the sheep. That's where we are now. We're at the woe part because the woe is coming to you. And it's going to come to you tenfold because you know better. You knew better, and you refused to take action on behalf of those that you were charged to steward. You allowed them to walk blindly into this thing, and you got the benefit of it, the temporary benefit for the moment. Well, let's see how good that really does you in the days to come. So, but again, I just say, as for me and my family, there's no questions about it. It's not even a discussion at the dinner table. The minister said no, we say no. Next topic. End of story.
Hey, Brother Rudolph, I had promised to myself I wasn't going to hold you because I know you're on the grind right now.
I have to get right back in this emergency room. Because I'm actually in the emergency room.
Yes, sir.
But I had to to pop out so I could get beyond here with you, brother.
Thank you for what you shared with us. Again, it only heightens and enlightens all that has already been said. So I thank you for your time, and you're no guest to Not So Bad Science. You're a part of the family, and you're my brother.
So yes, sir. Thank you, brother, and you be safe. You be safe out there. And to the people, my last words to the people that are listening is, this is not a joke, people. It's not a game. They are perpetrating frauds, and these numbers are rising. I'm in Michigan, which is now the state with the fourth largest numbers in terms of COVID numbers once again. This new wave that's coming out. Yet, Michigan is counting the fact that they've vaccinated more people than most other states combined. So the numbers just don't add up. It just doesn't add up. If you vaccinated all those people, how are all these people still coming down with COVID unless COVID is in the vaccine or unless the vaccine does not work? It's one or the other. Thank you, Brother Harold. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. So enough is said. Walaikum salam. Well, dear friends, we are not at the end. We are not at the end. We're going to take another small break. I have another guest to bring on to share some more wisdom with us with regard to the COVID virus. So to that end, I'm going to play a piece of music that is near and dear to me and dear to a friend.
Just rising, I don't want to feel I'm in the wrong place to be real.
Welcome back, dear family and friends. We have on the line with us my brother from another mother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, retired firefighter and former president of the Black Firefighters Association of America, who is my counsel, a friend and more than a friend, my contemporary and associate in the world of disaster management and preparedness. I want to share with you the counsel and the wisdom that he has shared with me as he has spoken with and communicated with many healthcare professionals and disaster relief providers around the country where the COVID-19 virus and its vaccines are concerned, and the potential alternatives of what else we should look at to make a better choice. So to that end, I want to bring to the floor my brother, my friend, Mr. Yusuf Muhammad. Brother Yusuf, the floor is yours. And welcome to this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network.
Yes, sir, Brother Harold. Thank you so much, beloved, for this invitation. I'm honored and humbled, as always, to be on this wonderful program. I thank Almighty God for love and for life, for waking me up, and I thank my family for their sacrifice. And I thank Almighty God, Allah, for you, beloved, for all that you do in terms of bringing our people to a higher level of consciousness by way of science and disaster preparedness and logistics and so many things you've been blessed to share with your listening audience. I'm just honored and humbled to be on this evening. And again, thank you for your invitation. Certainly, we want to thank the Most High God for his intervention in the affairs of men, thanking him for his Messiah, and thanking the both of them for leaving with us our leader, teacher, and guide in the absence of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'd like to greet your wonderful audience with the greetings, words of peace and paradise. We say it in the language of our ancestors. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Peace be unto you.
Right.
Now, I understand. Yes, sir, Brother Harold. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
You have spoken with, on your program, Disaster Awareness for Community Development, so many professionals who in their work are exposed. You have spoken with people who have recovered from the virus prior to the availability of this so-called vaccine. You have spoken with people who have taken the vaccine. From your position and understanding, what do you see the problem is and why people are so willing to take the chance of taking such an unproven product?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your question, Brother Harold. One of the answers would be, and it's many levels and layers to this question, as you know, I believe too many of our people, because of pre-existing conditions, because of comorbidities, which is almost one in the same, our people feel like this vaccine will assist them in staying healthy and not dying from this pestilence from heaven, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said it is. Of course, whenever there's a disaster, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there are three things you can bank on as a researcher. One is misinformation, the other is disinformation, and the other is not enough information. And unfortunately, everyone doesn't see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for who he is, and as we see him, Brother Harold. And so,
yes, sir.
It's one level of those who, because of their deplorable dietary habits, they don't want to change that. They want a quick, what they think is remedy to so many people dying, for none of us in America or worldwide has ever seen the statistics of death like we've witnessed in this past year. So that's on one level. The other level becomes when people who they look to, generally speaking, as subject matter experts or authorities, be it Dr. Fauci, that, you know, was up under the previous presidential administration, and he stayed on this particular administration, whether it's the CDC, not knowing the background of either him as an individual or the Center for Disease Control and Prevention as an institution. And so they look to them as the subject matter experts that's telling the truth. Then, because in politics, you know, I believe it was the Honorable, well, in fact, I know it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan who said, politics without economics, symbol without substance. And so when the government offers the black doctors, physicians, the National Medical Association money, when they offer the National Black Nurses money, when they offer the historical black colleges and universities money, when they offer the black churches money, then that becomes double jeopardy for our people, because our people believe they are the ones who would never lead us wrong as a people. And thus, you know, that's what I have found out based on my relationships and my research with members of the National Medical Association, the Black Doctors, the National Black Nurses Association, and pastors who, you know, have accepted the money. I don't know what's going on there in Detroit, but as I traveled from Norfolk, Virginia to New York, every stop I make, when I look at the news, there's a church and a black doctor partnership, if you will, that, you know, pushing these vaccines on our people. And our people are just like, you know, as we're taught in one of our lessons, sheep, easily led in the wrong direction, hard as hell to lead in the right direction. So I'll leave that. I'll stay there with a base assessment, baseline assessment, if you will, and then we can move forward. Thank you for your question, Brother Hal.
Now, here's the thing about me, because you just reiterated almost verbatim something that we heard from our previous guest, Brother Rudolph, with respect to being easily led in the wrong direction, easily led in the wrong direction, hard as hell to lead you right. These sheep, some of these sheep are educated people with all kind of letters and numbers after their name.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so difficult for them to see the forest before the trees?
I think, Brother Harold, two things. Because obviously they've had a relationship in the past with these governmental agencies and or these private companies that, okay, now, well, let's take the relationship even deeper than what it was, say, when HIV impacted our community back in the late 80s or the early 90s. And so they've already had a relationship, number one. Number two, you're talking about monies that prior to this happening, they couldn't see this kind of money being put in their coffers. And number three, in their mind, they actually believe they're doing a service to the community because for so many years, it's a... And this is just me talking. It's a trick bag. So during the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, they used a black nurse, Ms. Rivers, I believe her name was, who was well respected in the community as a someone who the people trusted. It's the same thing with the black doctors now and the black clergy now. These private institutions, these pharmaceuticals, big pharma, if you will, they know how to get to our people. Go through the black church. Go through the intelligentsia, the HBCUs. Go through the black doctors because the money we're going to offer them, they know that they would never have that opportunity to get this kind of money. And number two, they can say to the general public, see, we're helping black people. We're including them in the trials and whatnot. But, you know, the reality is we have to ask the right question. You know, brother, Mr. Robert Kennedy Jr. put together a film called Medical Racism. And he was saying he's not telling the people to take it or not to take it. He just wants the people to know what questions to ask, the right questions to ask. And so that's what I try to do, give the people an opportunity to see, are you really asking the right questions? Do you know that prior to this that each vaccine needed to go through certain clinical trials in order to be approved by the FDA, and that at this point, these walk, feed, operation pharmaceuticals have not been approved by the FDA. That's money. That's politics. That's coercion. That's, you know, if you get the deeper you get into what goes on Capitol Hill, you know that Big Pharma has lobbyists on Capitol Hill to pay these politicians off. Thus, we have what we have today. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and then at first you needed two applications, one shot, and then a few weeks later, another shot for certain vaccines. Then another one comes out and say, all you need is one shot. And they're justifying it by way of paying off, in my humble opinion, mainstream media and social media, because if anybody goes against it, they take them off of social media.
And, yeah, you're bound for a month.
You know, as I read the other day, it's interesting that they can tell you the result of people dying from the virus, but they can't tell you the result of people dying from the vaccine. Well, they really don't want to tell you.
Well, I'm going to share something. As recently as 6 hours ago, in the state of Illinois, Then you vaccinated 70,000 people with the vaccine. There have been 1,832 new COVID cases as a result, or the net result, after taking the vaccine. They use this word efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know what that word means. But the synonym would be effective or efficient.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick up nearly 2,000 additional cases after you vaccinated 70,000 people, what is the mathematical efficacy based on the legal standards for a virus? Is that a viable product? According to the CDC, that product should not be made available to the public until you can show close to between 99.9%, 99.5% efficiency. It's the same burden and standard of proof that was required for polio, measles, and the mumps here in the United States. Why not apply that same standard? That's my question. Why is that same standard not being pushed on any of the manufacturers of a COVID-19 vaccine, particularly when you're now asking children to be in studies in the inner cities around this country? Something wrong.
That's right.
I'm not right, but even I know that something's wrong. The state of Utah, one of the least populated states in the union, after 24,000 vaccines were initiated, 15 deaths and 383 more cases of COVID-19 cases were reported after 24,000 vaccines were reported or given. An additional 380 cases amongst that 24,000, with 19 deaths out of the 383. This is in the state of Utah, one of the least populated states in America.
Mm-hmm.
Does the data, does the math work out?
No, it doesn't, because in my humble opinion, Brother Harold, it's an attempt. If at first they can't convince you, they'll try to confuse you and abuse you and misuse you. And so as you gave those vague statistics, it reminded me of some research I ran across this morning on social media. I find out, well, first of all, last week there were maybe 10 countries or so, both in Africa and in Europe, that said they weren't going to take the AstraZeneca vaccine because of the data and because of the results, damaging results to their body population that they found out. And according to AstraZeneca's own statistics, a week later, today they said, AstraZeneca is saying, oh, that was some data that had nothing to do with anything recently. Apparently somebody put out the wrong data that was years ago, having nothing to do with the time. And so, okay, here we go with the hocus pocus, abracadabra. Then I noticed that two particular features that I saw that, as they were titled, they were titled, they were against the vaccine, but as you watch the feature, they twisted it in midstream to say it was okay to take. Again, the okey-doke in effect. Case in point, there was a black doctor by the name of Dr. Jude, who was an orthopedic surgeon. So the title says, Doctor Gets COVID-19 After Taking the Vaccine. So this gentleman, this brother said he worked in Canada, but he lived in London, and he also worked in London, which is the epicenter of the new variant there in the UK. He said he took his first dose of Pfizer on the 21st of December. He said, but the reason I want you to know is, number one, taking the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID-19, and it takes a while to build up its, pardon me, effectiveness. Then you're supposed to wait for 2 to 4 weeks. Now, this mRNA, as we know, BioNTech partnered with Pfizer, partnered with Bill Gates. But this doctor went on to say, unfortunately, we don't know if the vaccine stops you from transmitting it, meaning the virus, to other people. Again, educating our people to ask the right questions before they just go on and take it because somebody is saying, even a black doctor, he ended his presentation, but I still think it's safe. He says, I hope it's safe, he says, even though he laid that base out there. Then another feature I saw said, why your second COVID shot might be a doozy. So they explained from a scientific point of view why people feel a certain way after taking that second shot, but they justified in saying, that's the way it's supposed to work. But then they said something very significant for those who know. He says, thanks to their unique experiences, talking about other folks, talking about us, really, thanks to their unique experiences and their genetic makeup, which we know is different, but too many of our people think we're all the same genetically. It goes on to say they really feel it, talking about the terrible side effects, when their immune system gets riled up, while others don't. That was a significant statement in my humble opinion, because they were making it clear, even for them to justify people taking the vaccine, it affects different people differently based on their genetic makeup. And of course, Brother Harold, you much more in tune with, you know, the differences of genetic makeup than I, but I know that there are scientists who study rocks and the difference of them. They study the pedigree of dogs and horses and the difference of them. So why would we not think that they study the difference of the original man and those who are grafted from the original? So I'm just bearing witness to what you said in terms of those Utah statistics and in terms of what my research led me to this morning.
Yes, sir. Okay, one last thing. I want to quote some quick statistics here. In the state of Pennsylvania, there are 25 counties in the state of Pennsylvania that has seen a substantial spread of the COVID-19 with positive test rate results rising after receiving one of the three vaccines. This is in the state of Pennsylvania. In the, let's see, who else we got here? San Luis Obispo, which is a county in I think that's California. 71 new cases after the admission of 3,000 COVID vaccines in one city. 71 new cases after they gave the vaccine. In the state of Iowa, 5,675 cases, significant rise post-vaccine dispersal. I'm wondering, because I'm hearing too many educated people, they're going to take the vaccine. Do they not read the same things that we read? I mean, this is stuff that's all readily and easily available to anybody to just look at. Just look at the Google News and you'll see it jumps right out at you.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to our cognitive ability to make a decision that is not wrapped in a sandwich called fear?
Yes, sir, brother. Well, it reminds me of a song by the songstress Sade. And I think the song was called Never As Good As the First Time. But in the song, the lyric says, the more we know, the less we see. See, in order to do something about it, once you know about it, you're responsible for doing something about it. And it's easier to go the route, apparently, that these so-called educated intelligentsia are going, but it's going to fall back in their lap eventually. Because, I mean, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been like a voice crying out in the wilderness, telling us about the U.S. policy on depopulation. With 7.5 billion people. Because of money being shifted around by the Bill Gates and those billionaires. And, you know, it goes along the line of the Memorandum 200, the National Security Study. Ooh. It goes along the lines of the World Health Organization, which Bill Gates, again, put quite a few money. Back in 93, he put money behind them that produced the tetanus vaccine that was later found to sterilize in Kenya. And then the big new Brzezinski under President Jimmy Carter talked about depopulation, and then we could just follow Planned Parenthood, founded by Margaret Sanger, into our community. That's just number one on the depopulation. Number two, the healthcare practices have historically abused and killed the people of color. It reminds me of Gil Scott Heron, Brother Harold, when he said, Tuskegee 626, scientists getting their kicks where brothers you dig are guinea pigs for vicious experiments. And then three, the wicked misuse and abuse of vaccines. Again, I talked about the mRNA. Do we even know what it is, what's in it? And the fact that these are experimental vaccines. Then, on a legal tip, you have no rights if you suffer injury or death from the vaccine. And the bottom line is this. If we don't change our dietary habits, learn how to eat to live, then what are they telling us now? As you said, you can just turn on your TV or mainstream, and the pop out at you, they're telling you now that with these new variants, it may not deal with the new variants that are popping up, but also even with the ones that, quote, unquote, they deal with, you might have to take a shot once a year because, you know, that's just the deal right now. So, I'm telling you, Brother Harold, I thank you. I thank Allah much for you and your family for all that y'all do to bring our people to a higher level of consciousness. And thank you for inviting little old me, who I really don't know much, but I'm so concerned and I have such a great love for our people, as you know. I'm trying to do as much research as possible, because it's almost as if when we represent the voice that is crying out in the wilderness, they almost think that we're telling them not to take the vaccine is because we don't love them, that we want them to die as a result of the virus. And we're saying, no, nothing could be further from the truth. We're telling you not to take it. Thus saith the Lord, we're telling you not to take it. Have you really seen the research we've seen? We're telling you not to take it because you'll never be able to come back to us and say, well, Brother Harold, Brother Rudolph, Brother Youssef, how come y'all didn't tell me this was going to happen? Now, we're getting the blood off our hands, family, as best we know how. And should we come across any other of the 14 therapies that are being researched by the Executive Council, whether it's Madagascar, whether it's Cuba, whether it's Paxlovid, or whether it's just how to eat to live, learn how to fast, refrain. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said food could keep us here and food could take us away. So thank you, Brother Hal, for giving me this opportunity, beloved. I pray a lot that I enhance what you were trying to get across to our people. I'm eternally grateful, brother.
Brother Youssef, thank you so much for taking the time to share with me and my audience, to educate us, invigorate us, and uplift our spirits to know that we have choices and we have options. So with that being said, the audience of Not So Mad Science, I will speak on their behalf. Thank you, and thank you again. We have
all
been blessed, dear family.
To Allah. As-salamu alaykum, sir. Yes. Thank you, Brother Hal.
You're welcome. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
All right, dear family and friends, that brings us to the end of this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I pray a lot that we have been able to share with you, in spite of some of the strong language that I use, which I'm not going to back down from, that you have heard something that helped you help yourself and help others. And in the immortal words of that great black preacher of the Abyssinian Baptist Church in the city of New York, the late, the great, Reverend Dr. Adam Clayton Powell, Jr., keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. And Allah be willing, in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, I will be back with you again next week. As-salamu alaykum.